Next case is Peril Family Farm Food Company versus Lloyd's of London. John Crabtree is here for appellate Peril, and David Frederick is here for Lloyd's of London. And Mr. Crabtree, you may begin with your argument.
May it please the court, I'm John Crabtree for Peril Family Farm. This is a coverage case. It all really comes down to the coverage clause. And the coverage clause is pretty clear. It covers all goods and merchandise of every sort incidental to the business of Peril Family Farm.
Counsel, I appreciate you starting right there because I read in your brief exactly what you just said there, which is this is our coverage clause. And I think if that were the coverage clause and that were it, then your argument would be a very good one. But normally in a coverage clause, there is language which says, we cover all risk, we cover all this, we cover such and such. In other words, the word coverage or cover is in there. In the paragraph you've just quoted, and that this is on page 2 of docket entry 56-23, it's the first page of the agreement in the subject matter insured. Can you point me where it says we cover or this is covered?
It does not say that there. I certainly own that, Your Honor.
Okay, so where does it? So, and I agree with you. I've read it backwards and forwards, as right. I know you have. It's right. Not there. Where is that language in the agreement? Because it does appear somewhere to me.
And Your Honor, may I ask what you're referring to exactly?
Okay, so I thank you. Let's fast forward. So if we go to page 3, duration of voyage clause.
Right.
Because there it has the magic word. There it says, within the geographical limits of this policy, comma, cover here under shall attach from the time of the assured assumes an interest in and or responsibility for the subject matter insured being what you just referred to, and continues uninterrupted, including transit, stock, and location, until that interest and or responsibility ceases. And then it says it's covered, including in these other places also. So you would agree with me that is the coverage clause, right?
I actually, Your Honor, let me just say that I think everyone treated the other provision as the coverage clause up to this moment. But let me take it from there. Well, I'll take your premise. So let's say that's the coverage clause.
That's not my question to you. My question isn't a premise. My question is, isn't that the coverage clause since that's the one that says cover?
Your Honor, we actually believe the other provision is the coverage clause because it describes the items that are covered and therefore it's...
But defining the items, defining the items at issue, the subject matter at issue, can't really be the coverage clause because it never says we cover the items at issue. In other words, you need the magic words, don't you?
I don't think you need the magic words. I think the contract has to be read as a whole, which is what one thing both sides agree on. And I think read as a whole, that is the coverage clause. But let's just take the other clause as the coverage clause to move on because I think that still helps us.
Okay.
Because if you read that in conjunction with what we've always called the coverage clause, the items covered, and you treat that other clause as non-illusory, which you have to, then you read that continuous coverage clause, and it says, from the time that Peril gains ownership and possession of the property until we see-
It says assumes an interest or responsibility.
Assumes an interest, right?
And don't you have an interest? I mean, because let me just confirm here. I just want to start with just some points here. The insurance company Lloyd's covered the actual crops that had already been harvested and were in refrigeration, right?
Of course, yes, Your Honor.
What we're just arguing about here are the plants that were still in the ground, right? The plastic coverings that were trying to protect it from the hurricane.
Correct.
And then the seedlings.
Correct, Your Honor.
I believe they were also planted, but they were still seedlings.
I think that's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so that's really what we're arguing about in terms of the coverage.
That's the frame. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So the problem for-
So can
for,
I go back? So jumping in on that there, Mr. Crabtree. So you're right, and you've absolutely covered that it assumes an interest and a responsibility at the time that the assured shall attach when the assured assumes responsibility. But you missed there that prefatory clause. And I think that to me is really critical here. Because that prefatory clause says, within the geographical limits of this policy, such and such, such and such. So what are the geographical limits of this policy? Because the policy actually defines geographical limits, right?
It does.
And those are the points from a place to a place, right?
You know, it definitely would cover a transitory period. There is no doubt, but it also says places and includes while even being at a contractor. And that's a pre-transit moment. So you look
there's
at the
no doubt about it, but it's from the place to the place, not at the place. It's from the place to a place, right?
Well, it says from a place to place, but I don't think that's exclusionary to being at the place because the, again, the contractors are at a place
but,
as well.
But doesn't it also say including while at rest and or in store and or while at contractors?
It does.
Right. So from a place to a place, including while they're being stored and including while they're at any contractor, from a place to a place, right?
Well, no, I mean, no, the contractor would be before we necessarily get it. Because someone's growing plants for us, for example. So a contractor could be, and it doesn't have to be in the, it's not necessarily the middle of transit, as we argue.
Yeah, how is there any way to read geographical limit when the limit is from a place to a place? And that from a place to a place includes while it's at rest, meaning it doesn't have to be moving at every time. It could be at rest. It could be in storage, as exactly what Judge Legault asked you, what was covered was that which was in storage at the time in transit, and while it's at a contractor. In other words, the insured doesn't own all the warehouses that they store its goods at. They store it at third-party places in between when it gets from a place to a place, right?
But Your Honor, how do you reconcile that? How can one reconcile that? One can't with the coverings and the seats, because the coverings and the seats are going to be fixed on
But subject matter says plastic coverings. Aren't the vegetables, when they're packaged in plastic coverings before they get to the grocery store?
Your Honor, they're wrapped. So there's packaging and then there's
right. So it's, and it's that wrapping's plastic, right?
Yeah, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes.
And see, aren't there seeds inside beans and inside peppers?
Yes, but no one wants those, Your Honor. I think the reasonable construction of that language is the seeds that are planted.
Well, let me ask you this. The seedlings that are in the contractor, so as I understand, the seedlings are in the ground in a third-party greenhouse, right?
Yes, Your
Honor. At some point, those are transported to the farm owned by the insurer, right?
Sure, Your Honor.
Right, so at some point, those are in fact transported.
And then, Your Honor, you have a problem with the word continuous. Because in that same provision you're using, it's or uninterrupted, I believe, in that same provision that you're reading, the coverage provision, it says it's from the time that we acquire an interest in it until we cease to, and that
right,
would
be- right. But it's the problem is it's within the geographical limits. In other words, it's limited in. You're completely correct. When you assume responsibility or interest, to when you drop it off to the grocery store or to whatever right. the retailer that's going to sell it.
So let's just take the scenario you just said, Your Honor. Let's say that covers ABC contractor is growing some seedlings for us. They're being transported to us. We're then growing them and then we're selling them. Okay. But that coverage by the provision that you're calling now the coverage clause is uninterrupted. You can't get around that language. The coverage never ceases until right, we stop
the time, from the time it's from a place to a place. The coverage never ceases.
You're saying that the continuous clause.
Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm merely asking you.
Your Honor, we would say no to that. The reason we would say no is that the geographic limits show that the boundaries of it. We are in North America at all times. We're never outside of this.
I wanted to ask about that because the voyage geographical limit definition isn't just ports. It says and or places. I mean, places, that's very broad.
Your Honor.
That's anywhere, right?
Correct.
Because it's in North America.
Right. We're definitely in North America. There's no dispute about that. And to the extent there's any ambiguity, we would say it's got to be construed in favor of coverage. That's because, the one.
Again, we're here under Florida law.
Correct.
We're not at the third DCA, but we're under Florida law.
Right. Almost like a third DCA today.
Almost like.
Two-thirds of the way there.
Counsel, though, you're absolutely correct that we have to read this whole thing together. And so in trying to read it together, there are some other provisions that we could look at. For example, when we talk about having to report some problem, in other words, when coverage attaches or when you believe it attaches and you have to report, there's some very detailed instructions about what the insured has to do, correct?
Well, Your Honor, those instructions, though, actually read all the way through, would never apply in all the way through in any instance, even in a cargo environment. And I do want to say something to be clear. Okay,
can we look at those before we go off of that? So if we look at, and I'm looking at page 17 and page 18 of the contract that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So it says, in the event of circumstances may result in a claim, the following procedure should be followed. And it tells you who to contact and it gives you phone numbers. And it says the following information should be included in any first advice notification along with the documentation. The name of the vessel or conveyance, which is the transportation mode, the date of the shipment, meaning when it was from somewhere, the voyage, meaning you know what the voyage was, the insured cargo, meaning what was actually lost there, is in there. And then it also says that as soon as possible, we need you to give us an ocean bill of lading, an air bill, or another contract of carriage, a copy of the commercial sales purchase invoice, the packaging list, that so it's packaged material, the copy of the discharge tally or dock receipt, meaning what was actually left the warehouse, copy of a delivery receipt. And then it says it must include the packaging materials must be retained until underwriters have been there because they actually want to see what those packaging materials that we referred to are. Okay, doesn't that indicate shipment?
Oh, Your Honor, it definitely pertains to shipment, but let me say this, two things. Please. One, that's not an exclusionary clause. Two, it cannot be used to defeat coverage where coverage is otherwise provided under Florida law. It's non-exclusionary clause, and it cannot be used. Also, I think that comes under the general provisions, which expressly state that where there's a conflict between the coverage provisions and the general provisions, that the coverage provisions trump, which is not a surprise.
Can we look to the monetary limits, so the policy limits? And that's on page 2 and then referencing page 11. So on page 2, the monetary limit is 150K if it's a domestic inland conveyance, meaning some sort of transportation device. And then it's 5 million for any one location. So while it's at a location, but location is not defined as farm or greenhouse or anywhere like that. It's defined as a building, a tank, a dock, a wharf, a pier, and a bulkhead. Now, if we're to use our rules of statutory interpretation where we look at the general and the specific, those all seem to be referring to places of transport or rest in the middle of transport.
I believe on page 3, line 4 of our initial brief, you'll find a record citation to where they admit that this was at a location covered under the contract, Your Honor. I see I'm out of time. I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal unless the court has a question and wants me to answer right now.
Can you finish? Did you finish answering Judge Luck's question?
I think so, Your Honor. And again, I would reiterate the fact that that is not an exclusionary provision. And if there is a conflict between it and coverage wins. It's as simple as that. And by the way, I really want to make clear about this one point. We do not dispute that this is a contract that largely covers cargo. In fact, to use the Black's language definition that the judge used, it may be even especially about merchandise. But the word especially inherently does not mean necessarily, and inherently means there's other stuff. And so our point is that given the principles under Florida law about coverage, the coverage language controls here. And if there is an inconsistency, then it resolves in our favor. Thank you.
You mentioned Black's law dictionary and its and what the word goods means. Are there any other interpretive tools? I mean, we're going back and forth and arguing about what the language of this contract actually means. What other interpretive tools would we use to interpret the terms of this contract?
Well, Your Honor, I would use the rule in Florida law as a rule of first construction that regardless of ambiguity, that it's construed in favor of coverage. I would use the language that surrounds the word goods as well, which is extremely broad and inclusive. Okay, which says all goods of any sort, incidental or in connection with our business, and then gives examples of seeds and coverings, which are items that are not transport items. And then I would look at goods as well, and I'd look at both the first and the second definition under Black's. And again, I would say that even the definition that we suggest was less than ideal that the district court chose to use itself inherently means that not all goods are merchandise because the word especially would be meaningless in Black's otherwise.
Because it covers both merchandise and goods.
Absolutely. Each has to have a discrete meaning.
And actually, I'm going to ask this to counsel for Lloyd's as well, so he might as well hear it as well. But under the commercial code, the UCC, and also the Florida statute that talks about goods, there's commentary that talks about how crops who are being grown are considered goods.
That is correct. Under the Florida statute that adopts the UCC, it says that as well. I think it's 0.105 or something.
Growing crops are included within the definition of goods since they are frequently intended for sale.
That is correct.
That would mean that the plants that were in the ground prior to the hurricane would have been considered goods.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And therefore covered.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's really, really for Lloyd, so he's prepared.
Okay. I'm sure Mr. Frederick will appreciate that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crabtree. And we'll hear from Mr. Frederick. And Mr. Frederick,
Sure, I'll start with Judge Lagoa's question. Yeah. They don't sell plants in the ground. They're not a nursery. They don't sell things that they grow in pots. They sell produce. Produce is the product of a plant in the ground. Produce is what their product is, covered by plastic coverings, shipped in trucks and other means of conveyance. This is a marine cargo insurance policy. It is not a crop insurance policy. There are very distinct differences, which is why, Judge Luck, I appreciated that you touched on maybe six or seven of the textual provisions that indicate why coverage of plants in the ground is not encompassed within all of the different terms.
I have to tell you, counsel, I'm with Judge Lagoa in that, and your opposing counsel, that goods and merchandise here probably does include seeds and plants. I'm having trouble getting to there. And I know that's part of the basis that the district court ruled on, but it seems to me that that's almost besides the point, because even if those things are goods and merchandise, the question is, when are those goods and merchandise actually covered? And that leads us to other provisions dealing with what actually is the coverage provision here. And that gets me to where the question that I asked Mr. Crabtree, which is, while seeds may be covered and packaging may be covered in all its forms, and plants may be covered in all their forms, as broadly defined in the goods and merchandise section, and as Mr. Crabtree, I think, well points out, the real question is, when are they, what is the location of the coverage? So if you can address that for me, that would be very helpful.
Sure. I think that the best way to understand it, in light of how you pointed to the duration of voyage clause, it's got to be goods in a voyage. The question of whether plants in the ground are on a voyage would be the first question that you would ask, and clearly they're not. Under the other side's theory, the voyage begins upon receipt of seeds, and then the voyage stops for 6 months while these plants are growing in the ground. That's an absurd interpretation. There's nothing in the provision of the contract to suggest that whilst at rest means they're actually growing. And the point of the provision for marine cargo is to take produce once it has been picked in the field to be transited to market.
So counsel, part of your opposing counsel's response to that point is, if that's the case, if it only applies to grown produce that's being delivered, then why, A, that seems to be contrary to the broad definition of goods and merchandise, and B, why did it specifically refer to plastic packaging or plastic coverings and seeds, which are two things that are in the business here? So explain to me how those things fit into being transported or part of the transportation, a part of the coverage here.
Sure. These are products that are transported in plastic. You noted in your question of my friend on the other side that these are basically plastic bagged salads that are sold. And so when they are packaged in the packing house, they are put into plastic and they are put into means of conveyance to carry this as plastic coverings. The seeds were specifically added as an item because Perro wanted to ensure that when the seeds are transported to its farms, that they would be covered because of the value of the seeds. So it is perfectly plausible to understand why the parties would have covered the transiting of seeds, because that is fundamental to Perro's
farming business. So in other words, these seeds are valuable, and when you're transporting them from the contractor, where they're grown into like little seedlings and then ultimately planted on their farm, which is some miles down the road. If, you know, something happened to the truck carrying those, they want to make sure those seedlings are covered because they're very valuable.
That's correct. But then if you go back to the valuation provisions that I think you were starting to look at, Judge Luck, in the opening argument, what the other side wants to do is to take the full product of a seed and say that every single seed might be valued at the produce value of five full peppers, for instance. And that is not how the valuation provisions are intended to work. If you look at the statement of values, which is the very last provision of the contract, it puts in values for locations that are fixed structures. The words crops, plants, seedlings, fields, acreage, farms, greenhouses, growing houses, those words do not appear in this contract.
May I ask you a question, Mr. Frederick? What does it mean in the duration of voyage clause? I see you, there's including transit coverage, location coverage. What does stock coverage mean?
Stock coverage are those items that are like boxes that would be included for if you were packaging materials that would go into boxes to do this in bulk. That is the typical way that these insurance provisions
the definition of stock would mean that. Okay, thank
correct.
You.
Yes. I just need a clarification. Yes. And so I think that the key thing here to understand is that if you read all of these different provisions in light of the application, where the application was encompassed within the contract under Florida law, what they applied for was a marine cargo insurance policy. That's what they had in 2015 and 2016. They came to the conclusion that their own crop insurance was too expensive. So what they're fundamentally trying to do here is to convert a marine cargo insurance policy into a crop insurance policy that they themselves allowed to lapse.
I guess my where I'm having difficulty is in the language where it talks about the duration of voyage coverage, where it says that the insured assumes an interest in and or responsibility for the subject matter insured. And the subject matter insured also includes seeds and or farm produce and or packing and or plastic covering. I mean, those things were the let's say, for example, the crops that were in the ground. Those were clearly, they had assumed an interest or responsibility for that because that was on their location, was it not?
No, it was not on their location. Judge Luck is absolutely right that the definition of location is a building, it's a wharf, it's a dock, it is a physical structure. The farm does not meet any part of the definition of a location. Right. And that's why, Judge Lagoa, I think it's important to understand that all these provisions have to work together. You don't just take one provision of this contract, attempt to parse it, and say it is divorced from all the other terms, including the word conveyance, which is a word of movement. It is a word of transiting.
I want to go back to your point about the application. I have to say, I tend to agree with your opposing counsel here on how broadly you're defining the word application here. I understand the concept that the application is relevant as part of interpreting what was applied for and what the insurance policy covered. But what you're deeming to be application includes a lot of things like email exchanges and things like that, which seems to bleed over into extrinsic evidence, which I think everyone agrees this is an unambiguous policy and shouldn't be considered. So I'm having a little trouble there. But I will say on the other hand, the policy does seem to reference the sort of the general tenor on page 5 and the information notes that come there, where it says that transit from field to packing house, USD dollar amount, $24 million. That seems to be sort of the reflection in the policy itself of what the intent was from the application. Is that fair?
That is fair, Judge Luck. And if you look, and I appreciate that the line between extrinsic evidence, which we think is appropriate for affirming on an alternate ground, and the actual application may be a little bit of a fine one. But if I could just direct you to the Lawnmark Global Risks Cargo Stock Throughput Questionnaire, which is in the record. I have
56-5.
Okay.
What is it, 56-5?
The type of goods to be insured is produce, primarily peppers and beans. It doesn't say bean plants. It doesn't say pepper plants. It says produce. Produce is what you get out of a grown plant that bears fruit and vegetables.
Counsel, that may very well be the intent, but I just think the goods and merchandise definition is so broad that it seems to cover more than produce. Go ahead.
But the goods and merchandise has to be something sold. Under Florida statutory law, both terms are goods that are sold. They do not sell plants in the ground. They sell produce of those plants. And the other part, the next part of the application that I was just referring to,
assigns- if that were the case, then you wouldn't use the word incidental to the business. I mean, incidental to the business implies that it's something that is necessary for the business, but it's not the business.
That's why the words about the plastic coverings being incidental to the business are the way that it is packaged. If they had sold it at a farmer's market, they wouldn't use the plastic covering. The fact well, that
incidental
they
want could also be the seeds. I mean, that's not a winning argument for you.
I think you should
go to something else.
Well, the other part of the application that I want to refer to is that they are assigning an annual value of these are green beans and peppers on vehicles. That's a word of transit. A vehicle is not used to grow these produce items.
Mr. Frederick, you mentioned a few minutes ago with regard to the application documents that a policy that would cover the crops might have been too expensive for Perro Farms. Is there any indication of that in the record, that the price of the policy, the premiums, if the premium here is based on what actually was covered?
Yes,
is there any indication in the record of that?
Yes, and we've cited that in the brief. I don't have the exact references for you, but it is not that they were too expensive. It is that Perro chose to allow it to lapse because it thought that the premium for 2017 was higher than it wanted to pay. And notably, when they sought to interpret this particular contract as including crop insurance, and they sought to do this in 2018, the premium didn't go up at all after Lloyd said, we're not authorized to sell you crop insurance, and we're not part of the federal program of authorized crop insurance purveyors.
Was there an option for coverage that would include crops for a higher premium?
Yes.
Okay, all right, and that's in the record?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we've cited the briefs and in our part of the application section. And if you look at the Landamore Declaration and the Balchin Declaration, they talk about how Balchin came to Landamore to ask for crop insurance coverage and was denied that because the Lloyd's underwriters are not registered under the federal program. There are 14 or 15 authorized insurers of crop insurance, and the Lloyd's underwriters are not one of them. And so the fundamental argument that they're making is that inadvertently, the Lloyd's underwriters created crop insurance out of a marine cargo insurance. And by using words that are, I think, taken very broadly out of context, to provide for, you know, millions of dollars of crop insurance coverage for a $15,500 premium that is intended to cover the transiting of their produce from the field to their markets.
I was going to ask one more question. We're going back and forth on interpretation of the terms of this insurance contract. Why aren't we bound by Florida law which says that in circumstances like this, we construe coverage in favor of the insured. Why shouldn't we apply that Florida
because, law? Because the Florida canon of construction that applies here is not coverage regardless of how the terms are to be interpreted. There are 10 terms of the provision of this that make very clear that cargo insurance is not crop insurance. But the canon of construction, Judge Wilson, that applies is that you would construe coverage and ambiguity against the drafter. Here, the evidence was that it was Perro's agent who drafted the provisions, because those are the add-ons to what was a form contract. So I think that, Judge Wilson, you wouldn't ordinarily take a marine cargo insurance policy, which has been in existence for literally hundreds of years, and transform it into a federal program that was created in the 1930s to provide crop insurance under very specified regulations that require in the application and in the policy to set out acreage, what types of crops are being covered, what the value of that acreage is. None of those provisions exist in this marine cargo insurance policy.
May I ask a question regarding location? So I understand, based on the definition of location, that the farmland, the crops on the farmland may not be covered. But let's talk about the seedlings, because under location, it still says any building. So is a greenhouse a building?
I don't think so. A greenhouse is a plastic structure that is intended to capture warmth. I wouldn't define it as a building. I think it is also, read in context, it's not a tank, a dock, a wharf, a bulkhead. Those are all words which, if you apply normal canons of construction, you would say that the words around it are intended to provide their meaning. And a building would be like a warehouse, not a greenhouse. A greenhouse, they could have used the word greenhouse in this contract and they did not do that.
Oh, so, but I just want to confirm, in the record, does it give us information as to where exactly the seedlings were located?
The seedlings were located on the farm. We are talking about immature plants that they sought to get coverage for.
I thought the seedlings were held by a contractor.
There are some seedlings that were held by a contractor. The record, I don't think, specifies this particular greenhouse where they were located. That was part of the extrinsic evidence.
I mean, I'm saying it's a greenhouse, but is there evidence in the record that it was a greenhouse?
I don't know. I don't believe that there was.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Frederick.
Thank you.
Mr. Crabtree, you have reserved some time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. A few quick points. One, Judge Wilson, you raised the issue about the canon of construction in favor of coverage. Under Florida law, that does not require ambiguity. And if there is an inconsistency in the contract, apart from ambiguity itself, also the contract would be construed in favor of coverage. I also want to hone down on
who drafted the provisions of the contract that are at issue here. Is it Bureau or is it Lloyd's of London?
Well, as we point out in our reply brief, that's a disputed issue of fact. But again, we don't think we need to even get to that secondary issue, because as a rule of first construction, it's Florida construes even unambiguous contracts against or in favor of coverage. So we don't even have to get to the secondary rule about where there is an ambiguity and you construe against the drafter. But as we point out in our reply brief, the issue of who ultimately drafted it is disputed by the parties at this point. And that wasn't something that the trial court resolved. But I'd also like to point out that this coverage clause, the clause that Judge Locke has called the coverage clause, says that the coverage begins from the time we take ownership and is continuous until we cease to own it. So whether it's we get it from somebody, we transport it, it comes to us, if it's still in North America, it does not stop until we cease to have ownership of it.
But the part that you left off, and we discussed this the last time you were up, is that first clause, because the first clause limits everything that comes after it. So without that first clause, you'd be right. It'd be the point at which you take interest until the point which you lose interest, which you sell it to a retailer or whoever or customer. The But the first clause limits it to the geographical limits defined in the policy.
But we don't think that those geographical limits in any way impede that analysis. We would suggest the geographical limits include when we acquire it in North America until we sell it in North America.
But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say at a place or at our farm. It says from a place to a place. In other words, the limits are when it's from something to something, and it includes when it's in stock or at rest, or when it's at a building in between places, at a location in between places.
Well, I believe, again, on page 3, line 4 of our initial brief, we cite something to the record about a concession about location. So, but I'd like to hit a few other topics quickly. One is, everybody who's ever looked at a farm knows what the coverings are here. They aren't something, a piece of worthless plastic you drop over something that's being shipped. The coverings in a farm, we all have seen them. You know exactly what they are, and that's what we've alleged in below, and that's what they are. Those things are never sold, right? And when you worry about, when one concerns about, let's say, the valuation method in this case, and if you tether it only to the concept of the sales price, how would that make sense to exclude coverage when it would never then cover the coverings of the plants, or for that matter, really, this, you know, let's say the seeds that are in the ground, except at their retail price? And our expert, if we're going as far into parole as Lloyd's wants to do, our expert testified that this is a normal way of doing evaluation for growing plants. This is predominantly about shipping, but it is also covering plants growing. And that's how the court should construe it. This federal program is not required. And if Lloyd's made a mistake, under Florida law, equitable estoppel would stop Lloyd's from disavowing coverage. Lloyd's had 400 years to get this contract right. It should be clearer, and it shouldn't be construed against us. On that basis, and all everything else, would ask the court to please reverse the judgment.
All right, thank you, Mr. Crabtree, and Mr. Frederick, we appreciate your arguments.
Thank you.